And my friends, it is Monday night, 6 p.m., February the 22nd. Looks like winter is breaking out. Well, I mean breaking away. We're going to come into spring here in the next month in our area. We're looking forward to it. Everything has been white since seemingly last November. My friends, this is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web, and want to welcome you tonight to another week with an incredible topic. Listen, you may have had many individuals talk about this. You may have heard it on numerous radio stations that you listen to, but please understand that the concept of the Nephilim is deeply foreign to the body of Christ, to the churches at large, to the culture at large. There simply is no broad discussion. When's the last time anyone has heard a sermon from a Sunday morning pulpit on Nephilim? Maybe a television program. Well, there's been some stuff that has entered in to this concept a few programs not too long ago. But overall, the majority of Americans and those around the world do not have a concept of Nephilim. I'm going to answer the question, why? Why even talk about it? Well, let me say right now, why? It's found in the Word of God. It is mentioned prior to the flood and probably part of the reason for the flood. And we find that they're here after the flood, and we find generations of them, and we find the possibilities that if everything is going to be similar to the days of Noah in these last days, as Jesus said, then we're going to have Nephilim among the very end of days, beasts of the earth, as we look at in the book of Revelation. But we're going to talk about all of this. It does matter. It does have impact. It does have spiritual impact. The abyss will be opened. Many people think that's where most of the spirits of the Nephilim have been for some time. And that's coming. And in the context of the coming opening of the abyss, corresponds with one-third of the earth, of mankind, rather, being dead. So it's a matter that involves, well, the radical evil, the manifestation of radical evil, the destruction of humanity, the insurrection and assault on God. Well, we're going to talk about Nephilim for four nights this week, and we are going to have, listen, next Sunday evening, on the Sunday evening live program that we've had for some time, we're going to have Patrick Huron, who has authored the book out there on the Nephilim and the Pyramid of the Apocalypse. And so Patrick will be on with us next Sunday night. But we will get into simply the topic this week, Nephilim. Monday night, tonight, origins of the Nephilim and how fallen angels caused conception in human women. Tuesday night, Survive to Thrive radio program, 7 p.m., Genetics of the Nephilim and the Transmutation of Man. And we're going to get into the concepts of transgenics. And then Wednesday night, Nephilim, the occult, Nazis, Luciferic recreation, military weaponization. Friday night, where are the Nephilim? Where do they roam? Where are they today? And does end-time prophecy include them? So we're going to talk about these are the subjects. And if you're new to this voice, my name is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. And we're here just to say that we've been given tonight a supernatural hour. And I believe that God will be involved because the prayers have gone up for all of you. And I know that there's those who have prayed for me. Sometimes I can literally feel the prayers. Hey, sometimes I can feel the warfare and those who would try, well, to bring conflict to the show and so forth. But let me tell you tonight, we are still running off of last night's show a little bit. Last night on the Ragged Edge show that we do for 2 hours, it's moved to 10 o'clock on Sunday night starting next week. But get a chance, go to the archives of that and, you know, take a listen, because I really believe the Spirit of God guided and directed almost as if it was a half the program was a sermon. So obviously those who were there know that, and those that are downloading into the archives will be touched, I believe. My prayer would be that no matter who you are listening right now, that you would be touched by the hand of God, because in the mix of everything right now is a contrast. The spirits are speaking, and they are giving experiences, and they're giving enhancements, and they are giving information, and they are guiding and leading, and there is a synchronicity of spirits all over the planet right now. But let me tell you something. It was spoken about many years ago that there would be this massive ramping up. Not everything out there spiritually is good. As a matter of fact, so much of it is absolutely lethal. No different than, I always compare the kind of approach of the dark side similar to a predator sexual offender. A child pedophile that is hunting, looking, smiling, offering candy, trying to show vulnerability and friendliness, all the while they have plotted, planned the harm, rape, torture, death, destruction of their object. If you don't understand that the spirits, the fallen ones, have a plot and a plan, but they know what they need to do to first approach humanity, to coax them in, please understand Genesis 3, that's what it was all about. The concept of spiritual candy was brought about there. And there was a power behind it. It affected humanity's senses, let alone their engagement of words. So just want you to know, regardless of your background, believers in Christ, listen, a lot of you New Agers and seekers, and I'm glad that there are many that monitor the show and check in otherwise. Let me say, by the providence of God, for political and specifically military monitors, that you're out in the field and you're listening and you're looking for your, you know, through your grid of issues, you're looking for what is going to be spoken. Bottom line, God loves you. God is summoning you, seeking you, looking for you. And I have no shame in telling you that, because God truly loves you. The cross was all about you. If you reject it, if you throw it away, please understand one thing right now. It was all about you. And even this discussion tonight, and many of you will tune into it again the next three nights also. And many will download. By the thousands, people are downloading the archives. And I want you to know that you're in our prayers. You're in the spiritual mix. Either the Spirit of God dwells in you, and you know God, or you may feel you're just out there in kind of the neutral zone. Not a good place to be. Maybe you've got other spirits guiding, directing, leading you. You've got experiences. I ask you to check the source. If it's not God, the Holy Spirit, the spirits invested into your life, they will never, never reveal Christ or lead you to God. They are totally opposed. And we're in for it. We're in for it. Origins of the Nephilim. Why even talk about it? Let me give you a couple reasons before I give you some news tonight. Number one, it is in the Bible. It's clearly revealed there in Genesis 6, and so anybody preaching and teaching is going to have to deal with it. Anybody looking into the Zamzumis, that's right, the Zamzumis and other tribes of the Old Testament, when you begin to understand that all those nations, at the very least, that fought against Israel, tried to annihilate Israel, they were demonized tribes, demon-worshipping tribes, demon-powered tribes, many, if not most, into human sacrifice, some into cannibalism, sacrificing their own children in a torturous and very painful way. That's where they ultimately lead. And you undergrounders, the black nobility out there, you do know this. It's why you do what you do. Secret to the vast majority of humanity, but not secret in the eyes of God. There is a moment of grace left for you right now. It's time to get out of the dark side and come to the one they fear, the one that the demons themselves, you know what I say, the Nephilim would probably also utterly, absolutely, totally fear the living Christ. Now we're going to talk about the conception and the reason why we need to do it. Not only is in the Bible, not only does the Bible say they were there before the flood and then again later, and that there is an occult grab on the subject of Nephilim. There's a New Age grab on the subject of Nephilim. There's a ufology grab on the subject of Nephilim, and most likely military, secretive military ops in creation of super soldiers. Would take a look at this. That's exactly what the Nazis were doing about 60 years ago or more. So it's vital that we talk about it because we have Jack Parsons, a U.S. scientist, rocket scientist working for the government that was involved in some of the deepest, darkest rituals known out in the desert, there in Pasadena. And Jack and friends sought Nephilim. They sought a human demonic hybrid. They were seeking that possibility. Believe it or not, yep. And we're talking about years ago now. I wonder how far advanced those of you who are satanic ritual abuse, SRA, MPD, DID, whatever you want to call it nowadays, those of you who have been the victim and are getting out, great. Those of you who are still in as chosen ones, all of you know that the concept of powers, supernatural powers in the genetics of the blood is a vital issue for you guys, as did the Aryan-seeking Nazis understand that. So it's a vital issue today because it's an ongoing thing. It's an underground stream. And the attempt to recreate them has been going on all along, even Aleister Crowley's Moonchild. But we'll deal with Friday night. Will they reappear on the face of the earth? We'll take a look at the concept tonight of the conception and the Nephilim. But let me give you a couple pieces of news right away here. I mentioned last night on the show, and I want to mention to this audience also, please don't forget Pastor Daniels, the lady pastor, the minister that was brutally, horrifically murdered and left in a ritualistic pose of the crucifix. And, of course, law enforcement came in to warn all the other pastors. They've not caught the perpetrator. Horrific crime. And in my well knowing of criminology, in the concept of occult crimes, satanic crimes, I'm saying that this may have been one of those kind of crimes done by a chosen one that has sub-personalities that knew that they had to conjure powers and purify, in a demonic sense, their blood. Now, that's all I'm going to say about it right now, but we may be looking for an individual with sub-alter personalities, demonized, highly trained, able to conjure spirits, speak all the languages, very, very able to infiltrate and seem harmless at first, but when the switch occurs, literally all hell and the viciousness of hell can be unleashed. It's almost as though there's no conscience, but pure black, well, the nature of the fallen cherub. You and I have no idea of the depth and ugliness of that nature. Yet everyone listening right now has been infected and affected. Any believer in Christ knows that God says your enemy, the devil, is prowling around. That's what we're talking about. And until we come to grips with how real the entity is and the host, the domain. See, he's the prince of the power of the air. He's the ruler of the domain of the immediate dense atmosphere around the earth. He's the spirit now operative, supernaturally operative, in those without the Spirit of God in them. And if that's one of you, well, then you're here for a reason. You're here by a divine appointment that God may encounter you. In the news, please remember Pastor Daniels and all that occurred and pray for the perpetrator to be found out. We're involved in a number of crime, cult crime, satanic crime cases similar and praying for the perpetrator to be dealt with. Because one thing I know that when they are not dealt with, they will do it again. They've probably done it before and they'll do it again. So engage your prayers in that direction. Also, in the case of the church burnings, they've collected a couple of the guys. One of the individuals is deeply into Nietzsche. So is Hitler. So are many dark occultists. Nietzsche, the power of the will. Nietzsche, who talked about pecking out the eyes of Christ. Nietzsche, who rejected God in totality and embraced the power of will. Listen, the emptiness of Nietzsche in the end. Most, Nietzscheans, they don't know something. Here's a secret. They don't realize that Nietzsche died crazed, sad, empty. He lost his soul forever. And so if that's who you want to follow, expect the same. On the website, shatterthedarkness.net, the free course, Confronting the Powers, for all those who are, anybody can download it. And for believers in Christ, if you want to grow, become stronger, know what it is to be more powerful in the end of days, that is a training course. And don't forget the book, Black Awakening. That also comes with four other courses, free, 80 hours of actual conference seminar training. So there it is. We have, take a look at the entire website. You'll see some of the stuff coming up. I'll only mention quickly here, three conferences, Michigan, Biblical Revelation for These Times, March the 27th, St. Louis, April the 10th and 9th and 10th, The Truth Is Out There, Christian Symposium on the Paranormal, and then the conference in Nashville, April 23rd, 24th. And that is called, just literally, Last Day's Conference. And I just was informed yesterday that Tom Dunn, who's heading up the entire conference in Nashville, has added to the ticket Derek Gilbert from PID Radio, who will be the MC of the entire program. And I think that has become an absolutely excellent choice. So it's going to be a massive conference down there in Nashville, but there's three. Hope to see you in Michigan. Just about a little over a month, we'll be up there in Michigan, be teaching about 5-6 hours, a lot of question and answer time. And we're praying for a great time of impact up there also. Well, how are you doing? If you need to email me, you can do that. ShatterXmailSBCGlobal.net. ShatterXmailSBCGlobal.net. Global.net, and that I can usually get to you while we're on the show. And I am going to tell you right now that though we're trying to spend about an hour a day and try to do up to 20-30 email responses, I'm just not getting to everybody. I apologize, but we're trying, and so we're going to look forward to hearing from you. We got a note coming in already from Alan from Texas. Hey, Texas, the place where the church burnings went on. But anyway, Alan, Texas, rather, Will has written in and mentioning about the time. Well, Patrick Huron, we're going to be bringing him. Well, I would say the best thing to do is listen to it, or maybe if you don't. Have time on Sunday night late to it, get to the other part of it, the archives later on. I'm kind of reading the thing here. Well, yeah, well, the rapture issue, I don't know if we'll discuss that or not. We're going to centralize on the Nephilim this first session, and I know a number of people are going back and forth. I don't know why there's a big controversy over the rapture issue. It's simply the Latin word. It's actually used in the Latin Vulgate and other places. The Greek word harpezo is the snatching up, the catching up, used of the body of Christ in the descent of, you know, the dead in Christ will rise first. We who are alive will be harpezo by a powerful force, instantaneously caught up to meet the Lord in the air. That's when the resurrection, that's the glorification. And you don't have to call it the rapture, call it the harpezo, call it the catching up. And anybody that wouldn't believe in that, they'd have to really come to grips then. What does 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 refer to when it mentions in the descent of Christ, the coming of Christ, parousia, apocalypse, epiphany, the three Greek words. And then there is this, well, the parousia, in the coming of the Lord, there is the dead in Christ shall rise first. That's the first resurrection. Now, you want to be a part of that. You don't want to be a part of the second resurrection when it comes just before the great white throne judgment. You want to be a part of the twinkling of an eye in the flash. The mortal puts on immortality. If you're born of the Spirit of God, you know the living Christ. You have the gift of indestructible immortality. And the cultivation of your salvation will occur at glorification. That will happen. If you want to call it rapture, that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. People are mainly arguing the timing, you know, the seven-year issue. But you can't argue. Nobody can argue the fact that the dead in Christ will rise first. We who are alive will be caught up. Harpezo. Same Greek word, listen, used in Revelation 12 in reference to Jesus Christ and the resurrection, ascension, when Satan, the dragon, tried to destroy him, he was snatched up. He was harpezo. He was caught up. He was from the resurrection, the ascension, and glorification. The concept is right there in Revelation 12, used of Jesus in that ascension glorification. So we've got a glorious thing coming, and we will have to... We will have to comment on it, whether that night or maybe later on. I'm not sure what his views on it, but I can definitely clearly tell you where I am on it, what I proclaim. Listen, when I look at the Word of God, and I really try to study hard, and I try to study deep and wide and broad, and I try to be deep in the, and I know a lot, I know well, I mean, how to use the Greek, not real well. I have resources to use Hebrew, but I don't know that nearly as well as I've used Greek for 25 years. So the concept of using the scriptures and knowing and preaching, I don't want to preach anything I don't know well. And so you will hear me clearly on these kind of subjects. When we do a series on the last day's issues, we'll touch on the issue of timing of the dead in Christ rising, we who are alive caught up. And some believe seven, some believe 3.5, some believe pre-rest, some believe post-trib. The fact that all four views believe the same thing, the catching up glorification will occur no matter how many, 7 years, 7 minutes, it'll occur before the visible descent of Jesus Christ to the earth. Because you're already found, if you're a believer in Christ, you're in Revelation 19:11. Dressed in white, redemptive clothing, and we return. So we have to already be up there in the visible apocalypse, the visible return of Jesus to the earth. And that's the day of Armageddon. Well, that's something we can do a series on and dig deep into, and I'll love to do that. But we're going to talk tonight about Nephilim. Going to mention one more email that came in. Appreciate it, Josh. Well, I'm glad he's mentioning that they were listening last night to the show, and wonderful show. His words, wonderful show last night, awesome. So I love doing what we did last night, and we were on the topic. But listen, I believe God just poured out the issue of just ministering what needed to be last night, and so it might It might be a good thing if you get the archives of the last night's show, and about especially about halfway into all of it. Another one comes in from Josh. Here it says, quote, you mentioned something quickly about demons speaking in other languages. Just wondering what your opinion is on the Pentecostal speaking of tongues. Well, let me tell you three things, okay? Just real thing. There's three issues when it comes. The Greek word glossiola, meaning languages, proclaimed and foretold out of the Old Testament that it would occur. Pentecost is another day of fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel, yes, but also of a prophecy out of Deuteronomy concerning God speaking to the Jews in other languages. So glossiola, the people, the believers, began to speak in other languages. Now, there were 18 different dialects or nations there, and it says literally in the Greek this, all these other all the others that you look there in Acts 2, they heard them speaking literally this, the praises of God in their own dialectos. God did a miraculous thing there in unleashing through supernatural, unlearned by man languages that communicated praises to God, that was literally a sign gift that drew people to listen. Now, some people rejected it. Others then were there as Peter, Spirit-filled, preached the gospel, and thousands came to Christ. Now, that's mentioned, carried over into Corinthian, the dealing with chapter 12 and 13 and 14. And so there's the biblical sign gifting of glossiola, speaking in other languages. Now that's a real gift, and it's clearly one that exists today, and there are many, many believers that have it. Some have overemphasized, some have underemphasized. Best thing I can tell you, go to 1 Corinthians 14, read it again and again and again and again and again. Look what the Holy Spirit says about its being a sign gift, what it's for, how it should be used, how it shouldn't be used, and read it and read it and read it again. Best thing I can tell you. Now, I'll tell you this right now. There are those who have the gift that use it correctly. There are those who have the gift, and like in Corinth, use it in a fleshly wrong manner that needs to be corrected. Let me give you another issue, though. In every single case of deep satanic ritual abuse, chosen ones, we've engaged personalities that also had a counterfeit, demonically inspired gift or ability for glossiola. Counterfeit tongues. And when the demon was cast out, they no longer could speak in that counterfeit tongue. Let me tell you something about infiltrating chosen ones. Those who have the ability of a counterfeit speaking in tongues initiated by a demonic presence, you know what they love to do? They love to get to churches that show no discernment, no discretion, they allow everybody to speak in tongues all at once and all kinds of stuff going on with no checks and balances that 1 Corinthians 14 says. They love to lay hands on people, speak in tongues, and seek to transmit demonic presence, curses, harm, and so forth. Every church today that is using all giftings, that, and I would say to all Pentecostals and all charismatics, you better get discernment down clearly, because we've had to deal with counterfeit, demonically inspired false tongues that individuals are purposely using as they're infiltrating the body of Christ. And don't be afraid of that. Don't back off. Stand up. You've got the Spirit of God. If you hear somebody speak in another language and they're standing up and inspired and you pray, first of all, they're supposed to be an interpretation, or they're supposed to be silent. Second of all, we have the Holy Spirit and we should be able to discern. We should be able to discern. By the way, we got that series on Holy Spirit perception, discernment. Take a read or a listen to some of those. We're going to be adding more to that. That involves discerning counterfeit giftings. Very important. Sometimes you'll hear so-called preachers on TV start blaring out in tongues. It's wrong. No interpretation, fleshly. Sometimes they do it just to try to authenticate themselves, make themselves look spiritual. And in one case I've observed just lately, it may be clearly demonically inspired tongues that nobody is doing anything about. Now, I know we don't have a lot of time to talk about that, and I have a course on the Holy Spirit. We had a major problem with getting the Charismatic Spiritual Gifts course done, and it's still being worked on and uploaded. More than half of it is, I think, done now, and the rest will be up. But it's all about all the charismatic gifts, all of those, and it'll have a major section on this issue. But that's all I can say about it tonight, my friend, and I'm glad you wrote in, and glad you're listening. And again, praise God for each one of you. Because there are so many times you have no idea how much I feel the grace, mercy, and guidance of the Spirit of God. There are times when there is a sense of God giving me perception of listeners, maybe like you, that need to hear a word from God. Now listen, as we get into this subject, I'm always open to how the Spirit of God will guide and lead. But the reason we're doing a series on Nephilim, well, like I said, it's in the Word of God. Now, tonight, we may be going over what you have already heard numerous times. Some of you have heard this from Tom Horn, Steve Quayle, the folks in Roswell, Guy Malone and Joe Jordan, and Michael Heisner also. Many others have been talking about it, but again, you're listening to a group of individuals that are trying to really get some get ahead of this clash that is going on. You and I know that the body of Christ is way behind on the subject matter across the board. And it does bring effect because of what we're going to talk about. Part of Nazi Germany involved the desire for the resurrection of Nephilim, supernaturally empowered Nephilim blood as found in the Aryans. Occultists that are read today, the Moonchild by Aleister Crowley. The concept, again, of crossing a demon with a human to create a supernatural child. The problem that New Agers are having is they've bought into the bottom line Luciferic doctrine. They don't know the real source. They're just glazed over with the dream of a spiritual evolution to deity, kind of homo deity, homo godlike, where they think that somehow from the spiritual impressions, experiences, voices, channelers, etc., that they're getting, that we're moving towards and beyond homo nauticus to homo lumos, the idea the human race will evolve and like a butterfly, they're going to be a metamorphosis. We're going to all change in kind of a transition. Just like the fallen cherub lied in the beginning thousands of years ago when he promised an evolution to deity through secretive knowledge back then. That same doctrine has appeared through the mystery religions all the way to the Gnostics, deeply embedded in the hundreds of millions now, I believe, New Agers. I mean, we even got Edgar Mitchell teaching this and others. Remote viewers are falling into this, and they don't understand that it cannot happen, will not happen. The fallen cherub is a finite being, though powerful, cannot lead humanity to infinite status, godlike status. Please, Luciferians and real underground Satanist brotherhooders out there, realize the fallen cherub hasn't been able to do it himself. And he can't lead the fallen demon, you know, the fallen angels to do it. And he can't lead you to do it. It's about a powerful lie that involves the concept of human enhancement to homo lumos, or even the idea of homo deity, the deification of humanity. And so deeply inbred in Helena Blavatsky and in Alice Bailey and many others is a concept. Now, they keep hoping and hoping and hoping and hoping and believing and looking for the emergence and evolution of this. But, well, they're saying, listen, star children, indigo children, ooh, this might be a whole new generation. Really? Let's wonder whether or not their genetics have been tampered with. Let's wonder or not whether they are really chosen ones. Let's wonder, listen, every single real satanic ritually abused individual who has many sub-personalities, including priestesses, assassins, and others, those of you who know that you've been created to be the troops of Antichrist, you know the rituals. You know the attempt at the recreation, and we'll talk about this, I believe, on Wednesday night in depth. I will tell you of ancient rituals explained to me and drawn out in detail Wednesday night. Tonight we're dealing with the concept of the conception. Anybody who's brand new to the subject can go back to Genesis 6, where it speaks about the B'nai Elohim, about the angels, and these would be fallen angels that came down and took the women. And here's where we come into a problem. Now, the Word of God is very clear that that Nephilim were created, that a hybridization, that a crossbreed, that they knew what they were doing. They knew what they were up to. They knew what they were plotting. And it occurred prior to the flood and was probably part of the main reason for the judgment and the cleansing, lest the entire human race be transmuted and dissolved. Humanity had to be preserved because why? Coming would be, well, would be Logos in human flesh, would be Emmanuel, would be God in human flesh, but only in human flesh. And there had to be a pure bloodline. And we'll talk about the bloodlines again tomorrow night when we deal with genetics. But we're going to talk about conception. And I want you to think about tonight just this simple subject. I want you to, in the most technical way, the most kind of scientific way, think through the concept of a demonic entity, well, a fallen angel, embracing a human woman, engaging in sexual relationship, and causing the... I'm going to give you three primary things tonight. Three. Mark them down if you want, but three things that happened. Number one. It is the fallen angel, what is, well, again, just a spirit. This fallen, finite, but evil spirit caused the conception. They were the cause of the conception. Now, every single person who's a Bible believer, you say, well, I believe the Bible all the way through. I want to understand this, you know, because in the early church, there was discussion about the book of Enoch and whether it should not be put in. There's argument about it today. And you're going to notice that I'm not even going to bring it up all four nights because I want to stay with, I want you to be focused on the specifically given grapha, the writings of the Spirit of God. If you look in Genesis 6, the B'nai Elohim, almost always referred to in the Old Testament as angels, every single case, and they came down. Now, as a minister, I've had to deal with over the years, again and again and again, cases of incubus and succubus. The medieval manual that deals with deliverance, in a, well, it wouldn't be a good manual to use at all, but it deals with the concept also. Incubus and succubus, the concept of spirits coming to engage a male or a female in sexual relationship. There was beliefs that the demons could get a hold of the male's, well, the male's, sperm and then take it to the female, and there would be also sexual relations from the spirit with the female. And the whole concept back in the Middle Ages is kind of again, less biblical, more fantastic. If you want to understand how the world, a fallen, corrupted angel, a spirit, could cause the conception of a human female, then I want you to hold for a second and think in terms of the incarnation, of what was prophesied 700 years in advance, again and again and again. A virgin would be a child. When Mary was found and the angel explained and told, she asked about how. Now read about this in the Gospels. How's this going to happen? It would be the power of the Spirit of God. In the incarnation, you have Spirit, the Spirit of God, to human egg. The Holy Spirit causes conception in the human female egg. So it should be very, very clear that Spirit to human conception can occur. And just simply revealed from Scripture, that's what occurred in the Old Testament. It occurred before the flood. It occurred after the flood. Jesus said in the end of days, as it was in the days of Noah. If that includes the Nephilim, then the Nephilim will be here. There are those that believe they're here already. I'll give you some of my take on that on Friday. There are those that believe, and you'll hear my take on this Wednesday night and Friday night. You'll hear my take on the attempted recreation and the use of, or the possible use of, Nephilim blood. Now, the first issue here is fallen angel, which is a spirit, causes the conception in the female. Here's the issue at hand. What happens at the moment of conception? Now, you've got to kind of stop here for a second and think in terms of human-to-human procreation. In the book of Genesis, we have God creating Adam, humankind, male and female. He created them. You and I were to be in the imago Dei, the image of God, the likeness of God. And there was majesty and beauty, and we were eternal, and it was awesome and declared to be good, clearly, obviously. Now, there's the concept of immediate creation. I mean, hands-on, direct, God did it. Then there's the concept of mediate creation. In procreation, well, when Adam, the Hebrew word yada, knew his wife, in the sexual, you know, relationship, guess what occurs? Now, I want you to stop for a moment. As the psalm writer talks about in Psalm 139, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. If you're listening to me right now, there was a moment in actual time that you did not exist. There's a moment in actual historic time that you did not exist. Please reject, as everyone listening should, the concept the Mormons teach, and some others, that there's a pool of souls up in heaven, like in Shirley Temple movies. And that we're simply up there waiting, that God just put a bunch of random souls up there, and that when a baby's born, a little bell rings, and the soul is sent down from the heavens to that little baby. Please understand, there is no biblical revelation, not one iota that teaches that premise. Only in occult writings and demonically given inspiration in books like that will you find any concept. No pool of souls. This is very important. It's a wonder for you and I. Traducianism. The concept that at the moment of conception, please think through this. Now, I have seen animation of this. I have seen the scientific, video even of this, of sperm going up through and eventually reaching the egg, and where there were millions, then it was dropped down to thousands, then eventually hundreds, and eventually, you know the picture. It's an incredible, absolutely incredible thing. You ever wonder what gives power to the sperm to move like that? To locate the egg? And there the egg is sitting waiting, all ready for this. And even when there's a number of sperm around the egg, all of a sudden, one and only one breaks through. The moment one breaks through, all doors are sealed and everything is shut off. But in the animation of what really occurs on the physical side anyway, when the sperm breaks through, on the other side, there is an instantaneous, almost the idea of in the twinkling of an eye, there is a powerful explosion on the inside of that egg. At that instantaneous moment, the human spirit is created. It is through procreation, immediate creation. It is human to human. It is the male cells with the female cell, and then all of a sudden, we now have a brand new human spirit. You, listening right now, in a twinkling of an eye, basically, an almost unsplittable moment in time, you were fashioned, created, made at the moment conception occurred. It is miraculous. It is astounding. It is, I love any and all the science and videos and DVD. I've looked at a lot. And I wanted to understand and see that picture. It reminds me of the new birth in Christ, when instantaneously we are born again by the Holy Spirit when we accept Christ. It's instantaneous. Did you know that glorification will be in the twinkling of an eye? The Greek word atomos is used, atomic. In an unsplittable flat moment, a flash, the exertion of the power of God, the mortal will put on immortality. And you will have an indestructible, immortal physical body. That will occur when glorification occurs. Now, that's the big thing. Even creation waits. It is creation, all of creation, ascension, and waits. Look at Romans 8. And even groans, there's an emotion within the creation that has been corrupted because of sin and the presence of toxic satanic presence. And there is a groaning for the day of glorification of the children of God, the technia of God. So take a look at Romans chapter 8 concerning that. And when glorification comes, that also is that picture of an instantaneous. Now, let's get back real quick to conception. At the moment of conception, when it is human to human. For example, I have a daughter sitting upstairs. She's studying her stuff. Theology class, actually, at the college she goes to. And my daughter drove her Jeep. We traveled down to Columbus yesterday to go to a large fellowship down there. And listen, there she is, she's 19 now, and able to do so many things on her own. Been working years, a number of years now since junior, as a junior in high school, but four and a half years. And there, if we back this all the way up, I want you to understand something. I've been married, over 27 years. And the doctors told us, because we waited year after year after year after year till we got to about 10 years, and the doctors were saying, after my wife had surgeries too, basically you're never going to have a child after this last year of trying. If this doesn't work, forget about it. And so 5 years went by. And I'm going to tell you right now, my testimony to the glory of God is God healed my wife, and my wife, conceived. Conception occurred. My daughter sitting there now didn't begin when she was born. By the way, I was there when she was born. It had to be C-section. I think she was almost 2 weeks late. She was 9 pounds, 10 ounces. I was there watching as they cut my wife open. And of course my wife couldn't see everything. And, they opened everything up and they reached in there and the doctor brought out the little baby girl and he held her up and said, "It's a girl." Man, I screamed my head off. It's a girl. I didn't care what anybody thought. It was so exciting. Again, the idea of bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. See, for years and years and years, we've taken kids in off the streets and they lived in our home and we took care of them. Black, white, didn't make any difference. Unwed mothers, babies, didn't make any difference to us. But here in that moment of physical birth, 9 months and almost 2 weeks. But if you travel backwards, even you, to the moment of conception, it is a miraculous, instantaneous moment. God clearly is involved in the sense of his presence there, but through mediate creation, procreation is involved. It's called traducianism. It's the idea clearly that your human spirit that did not exist a second earlier in time, all of a sudden, through the miracle, the astounding miracle of procreation, the human spirit is literally made, created, instantaneous life that is infused into the physical, the material side. That's the power behind the development. When somebody says life begins at conception, most people have no idea what that really means. You did not begin when you were born. If you were born at 8 months and some at 7 months, you came out in the preemies out there and you lived. You did fine. See, the concept is physical development. 5 minutes after conception, physical development. 20 minutes after conception, physical development. Energized by the human spirit, you were already there. So I'm going to tell you right now where there's been abortion or where ladies out there have lost, after a week or 2 weeks of being pregnant, you lost the baby because of some reason, the egg didn't stick to the womb, all kinds of physical reasons. The little human spirit, Ecclesiastes 12, chapter 12, goes back to God. And I would say little human spirit, and I don't want to get into the definitions of how big the human spirit would be, but you were fashioned that. Listen, does the Bible teach that you came into the physical fetus at 6 months? Or when you were actually born and the doctor smacked you on the fanny and you started to cry, is that when the human spirit was pushed into you? No. We all know that the body without the spirit is dead. James 5. Remember James, book of James? You can't be a living human being without a human spirit. And when you die, your spirit leaves to go back to God. If you're lost and you don't know God, you rejected God, you're forever lost. If you know the Lord, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Remember Stephen? Being martyred, into your hands I commit my spirit. When you die, you leave, go be with the Lord. Your spirit, you, the real you. You were you the moment of conception. You were you 5 minutes later, 10 minutes later, 5 months later. And on the developmental side, by the way, in the Gospels, Jesus used the word brephos. In reference, he didn't say fetus, zygote. He didn't use those terms. He called in the womb brephos, a living human child. The moment of conception, a living human child. That's right. You did not come into existence when you were born, as far as coming out of your mom. That's the physical side. You came into existence the moment of conception. It's a wonder. I'd love to speak 2 hours on this subject and answer questions on it, but let me go to number two. The issue here tonight is that supernatural beings in human-to-human mediate creation, you have fully another human. You have the human spirit connected inseparably to the body, the soul, the DNA, the genetics, all of that, and your spirit, all connected inseparably. And you're human. Human-to-human traducianism, conception, produces another human. That is what God ordained in the beginning. But in invading God's creation, from the very outset, there is no allowance for this. This is part of the rebellion. Fallen angels, B'nai Elohim, going down, taking the women, causing the conception. Now we have demon to human female egg conception. If you have human to human conception, you get a human. If you have demon to human conception, you've got a mess. You've got Nephilim. You've got mutation. You've got the concept of transgenic. Definitely mutation. You've got enhanced humanity, but I want to make it clear, Nephilim are never considered to be human. You must understand there is, in Nephilim, there is no human spirit. Human spirit was not created at the moment of conception. A generation of demonic presence in that conception changed everything. The physical side of looking at a Nephilim might have been horrific if they're 15, 13, 18, 20, 30 feet tall, one eye, six fingers, mutated. In the DNA, in the genetics, would be the powers transmitted from the supernatural being, the fallen angel. Let me say it clearly because we're going to run out of time. Human-to-human conception produces human. Demon-to-human conception produces Nephilim. When it's God with human conception, you have Emmanuel, God in human flesh. Let me tell you one more thing. In the end, and probably on the earth right now, is the Antichrist. Now, I'm going to share my opinion now and share it later on, and you can ask me about it. I don't believe it's going to be a fallen angel, any fallen angel, to create the Antichrist. I believe it's Satan himself, a fallen cherub. Satan to human conception brings Homo Satanus. We've run out of time, and I hope that you are going to engage the next couple of nights with us. If you don't know Jesus, come to Christ. Write to me. This is Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net on the web. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Tuesday night.